ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम द श्रीमद् भागवतम 8th कैंटो 22nd चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। पितामहो मे भवदीय सम्मतः प्रह्लाद आविष्कृत साधुवादः भवद्विपक्षेण विचित्रवैशसं संप्रापितस्त्वं परमस्वपित्रा। पितामहो मे भवदीय सम्मतः प्रह्लाद आविष्कृत साधुवादः भवद्विपक्षेण विचित्रवैशसं संप्रापितस्त्वं परमस्वपित्रा। पितामहो मे भवदीय सम्मतः प्रह्लाद आविष्कृत साधुवादः भवद्विपक्षेण विचित्रवैशसं संप्रापितस्त्वं परमस्वपित्रा। पितामहो मे भवदीय सम्मतः प्रह्लाद आविष्कृत साधुवादः भवद्विपक्षेण विचित्रवैशसं पितामहो मे भवदीय सम्मतः प्रह्लाद आविष्कृत साधुवादः भवद्विपक्षेण विचित्रवैशसं संप्रापितस्त्वं परमस्वपित्रा। वैष्णवी, पितामहो मे भवदीय सम्मतः चित्रवैशसं पितामहः grandfather me my bhavadiya sammatah approved by the devotees of your lordship prahladah prahlad maharaj avishkrita sadhuvadah famous being celebrated everywhere as a devotee. Bhavat vipakshena, simply going against you. Vichitravaishasam, inventing different kinds of harassments. Samprapitaha, suffered. Tvam, you. Paramaha, the supreme shelter. Sapitra, by his own father. Translation and purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki, my grandfather Prahlad Maharaj is famous, being recognized by all your devotees, although harassed in many ways by his father Hiranyakashipu, he still remained faithful, taking shelter at your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. A pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, although harassed circumstantially in many ways, never gives up the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of anyone else. A pure devotee never complains against the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A vivid example is Prahlad Maharaj. Examining the life of Prahlad Maharaj, we can see how severely he was harassed by his own father, Hiranyakashipu. Yet he did not divert his attention from the Lord, even to the smallest extent. Bali Maharaj, following in the footsteps of his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, remained fixed in his devotion to the Lord, despite the Lord having punished him. Today, in this great assembly at the lotus feet of Shri Radharas Bihariji, I beg for the blessings of the multiple senior Vaishnavas here, who are all my Shiksha Gurus, and also all the other assembled Vaishnava devotees, that the secret of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by any amount of scholarship, but can only be revealed in the heart by the blessings of Vaishnavas. Therefore, in our spiritual life, if we can please the devotees of the Lord, and they approve our devotional service, then Guru will be very easily pleased. And when Guru is pleased, then Krishna is pleased. Therefore, here it is said that Prahlad Maharaj was recognized by all your devotees. So, one may say, I have a direct relationship with Krishna, because I cannot gel with different devotees. And some of the instructions of Guru are also difficult for me. So, I better keep distance from Guru and devotees, and only I will keep relationship with Krishna. Such a mentality is Kanishtha Adhikari. A Kanishtha Adhikari thinks, Atmano Bhakti Darpataha. He is very proud of his own devotional service. He thinks, I am the best devotee. Everybody else is useless. Or he thinks, my service is the best service. Other service is useless. That kind of mentality is neophyte mentality. On the other hand, one who is a properly situated devotee, he is actually recognized by all other devotees also. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita we see, when Kaviraj Goswami wanted to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, he did not undertake the project until multiple Vaishnavas repeatedly begged him. Several Vaishnavas, including Haridas, they gave him garland of Govindji and everything. Anything we want to do in life, we need the approval of devotees, blessings of devotees, good wishes of devotees. So here he says, Bali Maharaj is talking about his grandfather Prahlad, and he is talking about another person who was opposite to Prahlad, who was Hiranyakashipu. So in Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu we see Narottama and Naradhama, two opposites. The topmost devotee and the topmost atheist. The devotee who saw the Lord everywhere in everyone's hearts who never wanted to give any pain to any living entity at all. That is Prahalad. And on the contrary, Hiranyakashipu could not find the Lord anywhere. So he demanded his son, show me where is your God. So this kind of diametrically opposite two personalities appear in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they come to teach us many valuable lessons. Therefore here he is taking these two opposites and explaining. Hiranyakashipu harassed Prahalad in many ways. But Prahalad did not divert his attention from the Lord to anyone else. So here, Bali Maharaj is adoring his grandfather Prahalad for not giving up the Lord's shelter even after being subjected to so many harassments. How can one do this? Yesterday, His Grace Devakinandan Prabhu, in his question answer session, concluded by making one point that a son in the presence of the father is very confident. Now, when he doesn't find the father, he is shocked, he cries. So he always wants to be with the father. And it is a fact actually. When a devotee is in Lord's company, devotee becomes very confident. Like Prabhupada told once Brahmananda Prabhu to catch one small tiny creature, somewhat like an insect, crab or something, near the ocean beach. So Brahmananda Prabhu went to catch it, but then the creature went inside the water out of fear. And Brahmananda Prabhu couldn't catch it. And Prabhupada laughed and said, look at you, how big you are. And look at the crab, how small he is. And you are not able to catch it. And Prabhupada laughed. And Brahmananda Prabhu said, how can I catch it, Prabhupada? It went into the water. And Prabhupada said, yes. Similarly, if one goes under Krishna's lotus feet, firmly stays there, Maya cannot catch him. As the Prabhupada said. So, in the same manner, we, in our spiritual life, have to very firmly place ourselves in Krishna's shelter. For this, the fact has to be understood that making sambandha with Krishna is the greatest benefit. Making sambandha with anybody else is useless. Whether it be demigods, whether it be the politicians of this world, whether it be anybody in this world. And this fact is repeatedly proved in the Shastra. Sudama made sambandha with Krishna, Kubja made sambandha with Krishna, the fruit vendor lady made sambandha with Krishna, Rukmini made sambandha with Krishna. So when they all made sambandha with Krishna, see their end result. It came out very glorious. In fact, I heard the first time of the fruit vendor lady. Generally, for newcomers, you may say that, see, fruit vendor lady gave her fruits to Krishna, and Krishna gave her abundant jewelry, gold, silver, diamond, everything in her basket. Therefore, what is the conclusion? They will say, oh, wonderful. Krishna is too good. You give fruits, he gives you jewels. You know, very good business deal, isn't it? They may think like that. Or Sudama didn't even ask, he gave chipped rice. And Krishna gave Sudama back, you know, house and hundreds of servants and servant maids. But in one of the Acharya's commentary I heard about the story of the fruit vendor lady, when she received the fruits and when she received the jewelry and went home, when she saw the basket full of the jewelry, she was not happy, she was sad, she cried. Why she cried? She said, the Lord gave me this kind of material wealth and cheated me. I don't want this. I want to have loving relationship with Him. So again she filled up her basket with fruits and went back to meet Krishna again. And again she was singing, asking whether anybody wants fruits. Like in the verse it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Trinehi bo phalani iti sutva satvaram achyutam. Phalarti danya madaya yayo sarva phala pradaha. This 10th kind of verse says, is there anyone who wants to buy my fruits? Like that she called out loudly. But Krishna found a great love in her voice. He thought, oh, here is one of my devotees calling me with great love. So he picked up some grains in his hand and came out running, isn't it? Phalarti means The Lord became hungry for phala. But who is he? Yayau sarva phala pradaha. For everybody he gives fruits in this world. For all the fruity workers, Lord gives the fruits. But he himself became hungry for fruits. Why? Because he had love in her heart. Shutva satvaram achyutam. So having heard that loving call, Krishna couldn't resist. So he came running with the grains. But now second time when she came, Krishna came out and asked, what about now? You have come again. Do you want anything else? She said, I have more fruits to give you. So she gave more fruits to Krishna and Krishna picked up all of it and then went inside the home and kept it and came back. Now what can I give you? Krishna thought, I have already given her gold, silver, diamond, everything. What more you want? She said, please sit on my lap. And Krishna sat on her lap. And she said, please, call me Maya. Krishna called her, Maya, he called her. And Yashoda Maya came out. So the fruit vendor lady picked up Krishna and handed over to Yashoda. And with her basket, she danced her way back to home. And all her friends asked her, why are you so jolly? What happened? She said, today I became Krishna's mother. She said, so the devotee's greatest glory or joy is to have strike the relationship with Krishna and nothing else. The devotee doesn't want wealth. The devotee doesn't want to become Indra or Brahma. Your devotee doesn't even want to merge in Brahman and relax there. Just like Prithu Maharaj says, when Prithu Maharaj was asked by Lord, hey Prithu, what do you want? Prithu told the Lord, you are called as Varada Rishabha. Varan vibhotpat varadeshwaradbudaha katam vrinite guna vikriyatmanam yena rakanam apisanti dehinam tanisha kaivalya pate vrinenacha. Oh my dear Lord, how will I ask you for material benedictions like earthly or heavenly pleasures from you? Because you are a kaivalyapati. You award liberation to the conditioned souls. Then Lord asked him, that means you want liberation from me? I think you want mukti? Immediately Prithu Maharaj corrected his statement. He said, Na kamaye nata tadaptyaham kvachin. That desire also I don't have in my heart, my Lord. I don't want mukti also, he said. Why? Na yatra yushmatkaranam bujasavaha mahattamantar sridayan mukachyuto vidatsvakarna yutameshame varaha. He said, I do not want mukti. Why? Because in Brahma Jyoti, the nectar of your lotus feet is not available. And the Lord asked, what is that nectar you are talking of my lotus feet? At that time, he said, the honey from your lotus feet resides in the heart of your devotees. And it emerges from their mouth when they glorify you. And my heart hankers only for that honey, which is unavailable in Brahma Jyoti, so I don't want to go there. Then the Lord asked, then what else you want? I am asking you what you want. You are going on telling me what you don't want. Tell me what do you want? He said, I want crores of ears, he said. Because there are so many Vaishnavas giving lectures. Like one time I happened to be in Vrindavan. Parampuja Radhagovind Maharaj was giving Hindi lecture. And Parampuja Jayadat Maharaj was giving English lecture. My Lord, I was torn between the two. I wanted to attend both. At that time I lamented, I only have 2 years and that both ears also in one head only. You know, I had to be, because I was crying practically. So, sometimes we feel we are missing something. In the same manner he said, all over this world your devotees are glorifying you in different temples, different places, in different assemblies. He said, give me a crore ears so I won't miss any of them. My ears are craving like a chataka pakshi to grasp every one of those words in glorification of you. Lord asked, what kind of benediction is this? You know, somebody is asking for crores of ears. He said, yes, I know, my Lord, it's impossible, but that's what my heart longs for, he said. And then Prithu told the Lord, I am not going to ask you what I want, because I know very well, if I ask you what I want, I may be fooling myself. Because I may sometimes ask something dangerous for me, asking for heaven or asking for Brahma's post. Therefore, you are my father, I am your child, I am your son. Just as a father knows what is best for his son, similarly I leave the choice to you. You do what is best for me, you give me. And Lord said, what an intelligent fellow you are. like you. Lord actually is amazed by the devotee's intelligence. When Kardamani went to Lord, you know, he told the Lord, "My dear Lord, I have to fulfill your instruction to my father. My father's instruction is, he wants me to be a Prajapati and produce children. But I want to attain your lotus feet. Therefore, I may have to marry, but you only have to arrange someone for me to marry, because otherwise I will get entangled." And Lord was amazed by his surrender. So devotees always accept even material benedictions also from the Lord only and not from demigod. Like you see, Dhruva Maharaj accepted material benedictions from Vishnu only. Prithu Maharaj accepted a wife from Vishnu only. Kardamani. And Prithu Maharaj also said, whatever you feel is best for me, you do like a father does for a son. Because a son may want to buy a mitai which is covered by flies because it looks attractive. But the father will not give him. The father will give him a mitai kept in a bottle inside. Uncontaminated pure one. Because father knows better. That's what Prithu said. You are father, you do what is best for me. In this way, devotees always surrender to Lord. So one fellow once wrote a mail to me asking, "Prabhu, we are Hare Krishna devotees. Sometimes we get material desires. Why not we ask the demigod? Now, Krishna is too big God for disturbing. Small, small things we should not disturb him. You know, why don't we better go to demigod?" Like that he asked. Then I told him, "Why don't you go to Krishna?" He said, "Prabhu, demigods easily provide these things, you know. You know, for chota mota things we should not disturb the Lord," he said. Then I told him, "What about Dhruva? Dhruva asked the Supreme Lord. Kardamani asked the Supreme Lord. Then why do you not, you are a follower of Bhagavatam, why do you want to go to demigod?" Then he said, "There's only one problem, Prabhu. Krishna first purifies our heart. Then only he gives benediction. And that purification takes some time also. Whereas demigods give very quickly. Kshipram hi manushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja." Then I told him, "See, that purification is necessary. Otherwise we have a spirit of enjoying mentality, which will create us trouble. Therefore, doctor first cures you the disease, then allows you to eat nice food. 21 days typhoid, no pakoda, no puri, no samosa, no bhaji. But after your 21 days typhoid is over, then you are allowed to eat. Similarly, the Lord also first purifies our enjoying spirit, and then he may give anything to us because it will not harm us." So I was explaining this to him. So, making sambandha with Krishna means we get love of Krishna. And when you have love of Krishna, you have everything. In Jagannath Puri, they have one Odia slogan. This Odia slogan, I don't know exactly what it is, but it says, "Sabu tyagibe takku paayibu," it says. If you give up everything of this world for Krishna, you will get takku means Jagannath. You get Jagannath. Takku paayile sabu paayibu, it says. If you get Jagannath, you get everything, it says. Our Prabhu will know better properly. Correct, na Prabhu? It says that when you give your heart and everything else to Krishna, like he says, "Manasa deho geho yo kichu mor arpilu tuva pade nanda kishor." And then he's saying, "Sampade vipade jivane marane dai mama gela tuva o padavarane maro bi rakho bi jo ichha tohar nitya das prati tuva adhikar." Actually, this song exactly portrays Bali Maharaj. He says, "My dear Lord, whatever I have, I hand it over to you. Whatever I possess. In wealth, in poverty, or in, you know, great affluence, in both cases I will be your servant. Whether I am alive or dead, I am your servant. In all situations, I am your servant. And you have the right to punish me or embrace me. You can do whatever you wish. You are my Swami and you are my eternal master. So I will always be at your lotus feet." This Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings this. "And I don't ask for anything." Therefore he is saying,
ಕೀಟ ಜನ್ಮ ಯಥಾದ್ವಾದಾತ್ ಬಹಿರ್ಮುಖ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಜನ್ಮೇ ನಹಿ ಮೋರಾಶ್.
ಹಿ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಮೇಕ್ ಮೀ ಅ ವರ್ಮ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹೌಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಈಸ್ ಈಟ್ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಸಾದ್. ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೆಟ್ ಸಮ್ ರೈಸ್ ಪಾರ್ಟಿಕಲ್ಸ್, ಸಮ್ ಗ್ರೈನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಈಟ್ ಪ್ರಸಾದ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಬಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ. ಬಟ್ ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಬಿಕಮ್ ಅ ಫೋರ್ ಹೆಡೆಡ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಇಫ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಫರ್ಗೆಟ್ ಯು. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಯೂಸ್ಲೆಸ್. ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಸಿ ದಿಸ್ ಸಾಂಗ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಡೆಪಿಕ್ಸ್ ದ ಮೂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಡಿವೋಟಿ. ಸೊ ವೈಷ್ಣವಸ್ ಆರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಇನ್ ದರ್ ಸಂಬಂಧ ವಿತ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಪಾವರ್ಟಿ ಸ್ಟ್ರಿಕನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ. I am a billionaire or I am a pauper. They don't mind. Therefore, in 2-3 verses before, Bali Maharaj says, when Lord was speaking to him in Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Chakravarti Thakur says, the Lord is telling Bali, Bali, you generally know that I am favorable to demigods, not to the demons, he says. And then Bali is saying, no, my Lord, I beg to differ from you, he says. Really? You want to have different opinion than the Lord? You know what Bali says? He says, you cheat the demigods by giving them post of in heavenly post and wealth and affluence. But to demons like me, you come and take away everything, along with that you destroy our false pride, by which you make me come on my hands and knees at your lotus feet and achieve pure devotional service. So I consider myself more fortunate. See here, in 5th canto, I have brought one reference. This is 5th canto, 24th chapter, 24th verse. Easy to remember. 5, 24, 24. So here what Bali is telling here, alas, how pitiable it is for Indra, the king of heaven, that although he is very learned and powerful, and although he chose Brihaspati as his prime minister to instruct him, he is completely ignorant concerning spiritual advancement. Brihaspati is also unintelligent, because he did not properly instruct his disciple Indra. Lord Vamandev was standing at Indra's door because Lord acted Upendra in heaven. Lord Vamandev was standing at Indra's door, but King Indra, instead of begging him for an opportunity to render transcendental loving service, he engaged Vamana, he engaged him in asking me for alms to gain the three worlds for his sense gratification. Sovereignty over the three worlds is very insignificant. Because whatever material opulence one may possess lasts only for an age of Manu, one Manvantar, which is but a tiny fraction of endless time. In essence, I will tell you what he says. He says Indra is foolish, his guru Brihaspati also is not very intelligent, he says. And the reason he gives is, Vamana appeared as Aditi's son. At that time, Indra could have asked him, please give me pure devotional service at your lotus feet and I don't want anything else. And then he would have gone back to Godhead. Who? Indra. Did he do that? No. Instead he asked, can you please get my kingdom back so I can again occupy my seat of Indra and I can go on for one Manvantar as Indra. Like that Indra asked. So this is like going to a billionaire and asking for some 10 paisa. It's like that. Foolishness. Like that he is telling. So because even if you become Indra, it will go only for one Manvantar, like that is telling. Now when I first read this verse, I thought, why is Bali saying like this? Is Bali very proud that he conquered Lord Vamana by his devotion and then he brought him to become his doorkeeper in Sutara Loka? Like that I thought. See, whenever we read something, we immediately judge in our mind, isn't it? See the next verse what he says. Immediately, the next verse, 25th verse, he says, Bali Maharaj said, my grandfather Prahalad Maharaj is the only person who understood his own swartha, self-interest. Upon the death of Prahalad's father Hiranyakashipu, Lord Narasimha wanted to offer Prahalad his father's kingdom and even wanted to grant him liberation from material bondage. But Prahalad accepted neither of them. Liberation and material opulence, he thought, are obstacles to devotional service. And therefore such gifts from the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not his actual mercy. Consequently, instead of accepting the results of karma and jnana, Prahlad Maharaj simply begged the Lord for engagement in the service of his servant Narada. Like that he is telling. So he is not glorifying himself. He is glorifying whom? He is glorifying Prahlad. Bali Maharaj is condemning Indra, but is glorifying Prahlad. And he is remembering that particular prayer Prahlad made. When Lord asked, Lord Narasimha asked, Prahlad, I am so pleased with you. You are so staunch in your devotion service. Therefore, I want to give you some benedictions, ask me. That time you all know the famous verse he said, Ashasano na vaibhritya swamin ashisha atmanaha na swami brityata swamyam ichanjoratita ashishaha. He said, my dear Lord, a pure master does not expect any material goods from pure servants. He only wants love and bhakti. And a pure servant does not demand any material goods from a pure master. Like Krishna and Sudama, pure master, pure servant, the only business commodity they exchange is love, nothing else. On the other hand, impure servant, you know, he glorifies the demigods, and sometimes in India they sing, you might have heard this, Tumse badkar kaun, tumhare bhakto mein humse badkar kaun, like that they sing, isn't it? Who is there as great as you, and amongst your bhaktas, who is as great as myself? You know, it is all tinged with material mentality. They also ask for many material things from them. That's impure servant, he said. And impure master also wants prestige while getting worship. When Brahma saw Hiranyakashipu raised his hands and performed severe meditation, after the heat came out of his hands and devatas were all disturbed, they went and reported to Brahma. And Brahma, surrounded by all the rishis and demigods, came down flying in his swan carrier. So in the entire forest, they were all searching, where is the Hiranyakashipu fellow? It was a thick jungle, nobody could find out, only Brahma could find out that there was an ant hill which had grown over his body. The ants had eaten up all the flesh. Only the bones were there, and the soul was somehow lingering on the bones. And Brahmaji was amazed by that tapasya. He told Bhrigumuni, in this world, who can avoid drinking even water for 100 celestial years? Even he told great sages like Bhrigu, who is with me, even they couldn't do it, Brahma said. But who has done? Hiranyakashipu has done. So he took his kamandalu and sprinkled the water, and out came Hiranyakashipu like fire coming out of wood with great energetic body, and he fell at the feet of Brahma. And Brahma told Hiranyakashipu, Darshanam Nafalam Mama, he says. My dear Hiranyakashipu, you have done a great penance for me, but for your kind information I can tell you, I am also a very capable demigod. You know, apne sahi aadmi ke paas aaya hai. You have come to the right person. Don't think, sometimes what happens when you go for meeting a donor, some devotees take a huge gift, you know, and the donor becomes afraid. If I have to receive such a big gift, I also am supposed to give a big donation also, no? So he may be thinking, I'll give 1,000 or 2,000, but the gift only is 5,000. Then he has to give 1 lakh or 50,000, correct, no? Similarly, Brahma thought this fellow is coming and, you know, doing penance for demigod like me. So he told, Darshanam Nafala Mama, do not worry, I will give you a very suitable benediction, except Amaratva, he told him. Anything short of that, same thing demigod told Muchukunda, Hrithay Kaivalyam, they told him. Anything else you ask, we will give you. The demigods want to increase their prestige. The demigod followers want material goods, Prahlad said. But my dear Lord, what about me? He said, Aham Tvakama Svadbhakta Tvamcha Swami Anapashrayah Nanyate Hava Yorartho Raja Sevaka Yoriva. Oh my Lord, you are a Swami, I am servant, Das. You are king, I am Sevak. That is our relationship. And I will only serve you. I don't want anything from you, he said. Namai Vanik, he says. I am a Brithya, I am not a Vanik, he said. At that time he remembered his guru, when he told them what he wants. You know what he said? One very, very beautiful verse. Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahiku pekama abhikamonaya prapatan prasangat kritpatma sat sura rishina bhagavan grihita soham katam navisrije tava Brithya sevam. Last line he says, so aham, myself, I want only one thing. Service to the lotus feet of my Guru Narada. And I don't want anything else, he says. Now, Lord Narasimha is very sad. He says, you have done so much bhakti for me, I am not giving you anything. What is this, Prahlad? You must ask something from me. Don't trick me like this, saying different things. And then Prahlad said, okay, now I am going to ask you for a benediction. You know what he asked? He said, All of you, please repeat this. It's a very, very beautiful verse. Yadi dasyasi me kaman varamstvam varadarishabha kamanam hridi asamroham bhavatastu grinevaram. Okay, I have one benediction to ask you, my Lord. In case there is some material desire lingering in my heart, you do the work of destroying it. Like that he said. That's the only boon he asked Prahlad. Therefore, Bali Maharaj is quoting his grandfather's name here. And then the next verse Bali is saying, Bali Maharaj said, persons like us, that means himself is saying, who are still attached to material enjoyment, who are contaminated by the three gunas, and who lack the mercy of the Supreme Lord, cannot follow the supreme path of Prahlad Maharaj, the exalted devotee of the Lord. That means not only he condemned Indra, he is condemning himself also. He is telling, my dear Lord, I am also attached to material enjoyment. I am also contaminated by three gunas. I cannot attain your mercy. I am a fallen soul. Like that he is telling. But he is glorifying Prahlad very beautifully. So, Bali Maharaj is very humble. Even after achieving Vamanadev as his doorkeeper, he is not at all proud. On the other hand, he is proud of the lineage in which he is coming, where Prahlad Maharaj is his grandfather. Like, we can be proud of Prabhupada. We can be proud of Bhakti Saraswati Thakur. We can be proud of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We can be proud of coming in the line of Lord Chaitanya. But we can't be proud of ourselves. We can't say that, I will tell you how I am great. Then we are gone. Just finished. So, Bali Maharaj praises Prahlad. And he says that, because Prahlad is my grandfather, I am taking inspiration from him. And I will also practice Shuddha Bhakti at your lotus feet. And I don't want anything material. Like that he is telling to Vamandev. So in this verse, he is praising Prahlada's determination in practicing bhakti. See here what his purpose is here. A pure devotee like Prahlad, although harassed, circumstantial in many ways, never gives up the shelter of the Supreme Lord, to take shelter of anyone else. In the beginning of the class today, I told you, that devotees of the Lord make sambandha only with Krishna and they get glorious result. Whereas those who make sambandha with demigods, they all got into trouble. Whether it is Ravana, whether it is Bhasmasura, whether it is Hiranyakashipu, you find that people who make sambandha with demigods, they are eventually destroyed. You will see that. And what to speak of people who make sambandha with different men of this world for the sake of getting something mundane material. Therefore, we should always seek the supreme shelter, which is Krishna's lotus feet, as Prahlad sought. That is the point Bali Maharaj is telling here. Another interesting observation we can make here, that he had two choices, our Bali Maharaj. One choice is to follow Hiranyakashipu's path, another choice is to follow Prahlada's path. He chose whose path? Prahlada's path. So we all have this choice in our life. At every moment. And we should make the right choice. See, compare Dhritarashtra and Dhruva. See, I can tell you many similarities between them and differences between them. Dhritarashtra wanted a kingdom. But Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom bigger than his father, grandfather, great-grandfather. So, Dhruva Maharaj's desire was much bigger than whose desire? Dhritarashtra's desire. Dhritarashtra wanted only earthly kingdom. But what the Dhruva wanted? He wanted a kingdom beyond Brahmaloka also. So his material desire was very big. Okay, that is one similarity. Another similarity, both of them, you know, you will find that now Dhruva Maharaj, for example, he somehow wanted to attain the kingdom. So whom did he approach? If you see, he performed, you know, severe penance for attaining the kingdom. He followed the path of Narada. Of course, his mother first. Mother told him to go to the forest and meet Supreme Lord. And Narada gave him details on how to approach the Supreme Lord. And he did that. Now, Dhritarashtra, what he did for getting kingdom? He approached Vidura on one side, who gave him good advice, but he rejected that advice. And he approached Duryodhana and Shakuni on the other side. Isn't it? One day, Akrura had come to Hastinapur. And Akrura told Dhritarashtra that, you see, you should not go by your Dehatma Buddhi. Your son is not fit for becoming the king. Whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj is elder and he is fit also. So you should declare him to be the Rajkumar. Yuvraj. He is going to be the next king. So after a lot of pushing by Akrura, you know, Dhritarashtra called for a meeting of 20-25 important leaders. They all came. In that leaders meeting, Duryodhana, Shakuni, Karna, they were also there. And he made an announcement that I want to make Yudhishthira Maharaj the next king. I heard from Akrura and many other seniors. Like that he made an announcement. When that meeting was going on, Shakuni immediately called Duryodhana and Karna and took them to a side. Another little conference, like subcommittee. He took them separately. And he told, hey, this is going too much, out of hands. Now he has almost declared, Duryodhana, what do you want to do? And Duryodhana, and then Shakuni asked Duryodhana, right now think about who are your enemies, who are your friends. Duryodhana said, Ashwatthama is my friend. He will support me. Ashwatthama's father, Dronacharya, he will also support me because blood is thicker than water, we say, in a blood relationship. And also Dronacharya's wife is who? You know, Kripi. And she is related to Kripacharya. So he will also be on my side also. And as far as Bhishma is concerned, he is a neutral party. So whoever is the ruling party, he will side. So he will also be on my side. Like that he was doing politics. But there is only one fellow who is a dangerous fellow. Who is it? Vidura. That one fellow, Shakuni said, somehow you have to get rid of him, he said. So like this they were talking politics. And then what Shakuni did, he called one Brahman. One Brahman, he told that Brahman that now I am going to take you to Dhritarashtra and you should tell Dhritarashtra that he should destroy the Pandavas. And he was a very, very poor Brahman, probably not reading the Vedas properly. Not a Brahman, Brahma Bandhu, we can say. And he gave him good amount of gold and silver. And then he took him. Then Dhritarashtra called Shakuni. Oh, Shakuni, what is your advice for me? Now my son Duryodhana is very worried about Yudhishthira becoming king. What I should do? Shakuni put the Brahman in the front. And the Brahman spoke exactly as Shakuni had bribed him to speak. And then he sent away the Brahman and said, see, Brahman is telling you should destroy the Pandavas and you should make Duryodhana the king. And Dhritarashtra accepted it. You will see. Eventually, Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana and all Kauravas were destroyed because of Dhritarashtra taking the wrong path. On the other hand, what happened to Dhruva? Dhruva had two choices. Either to slap his stepmother Suruchi, you know, who spoke against him. He was so angry. He was a Kshatriya, lips were quivering, hands were shaking. But his mother told him, my dear child, do not harbor any malice for your stepmother. Because Vaishnava devotees do not maintain any malice towards any creature. Na krodho na tamatsaryo na lobho na shubha matihi bhavanti krita punyanam bhaktanam purushottame. The Purushottama bhaktas unnecessarily do not become angry. Unnecessarily do not harbor envy towards other creatures. They do not harbor any malice, ashubha bhavana. So she properly advised him and sent him to forest to see Vishnu. And Narada Muni described about beauty of Vishnu. And by holding Vishnu in his heart constantly, Dhruva's heart became purified. Whereas Dhritarashtra's heart became putrefied by associating with Shakuni. So therefore in our life we all have two choices. To walk on the path of Dhritarashtra or walk on the path of Dhruva. Even though we may have material desires. To walk on the path of Prahalad or walk the path of Hiranyakashipu. Here although he is descendant of both of them, he is descendant of Hiranyakashipu, he is descendant of Prahalad. But he is choosing to follow whom? Yeah, he is choosing to follow Prahalad. So that is another speciality we can see. And we all have the choice. And we may have temptations to follow the path of Hiranyakashipu. But like Hiranyakashipu, when he saw the pillar breaking, and when Lord Narasimha came out, he immediately asked, who is this? He is neither a human nor an animal. It's very strange. Namrgam namanusham. He understood that maybe Vishnu is coming in a disguised form or whatever. Hey, he is picking me up and taking me to the door, which is neither inside the palace nor outside the palace. He is not putting me on the ground. He is not putting me in the sky. Where is he keeping? He is keeping me on the lap. My Lord, and he is not carrying any weapons also. He is only showing his cutting tool like nails. Now he has understood. That means all Brahma's, you know, boons are being fulfilled. I think this is Lord Vishnu only has come to kill me. When Lord Narasimha is about to put his hand in his belly, Hiranyakashipu could have screamed and said, "My Lord, I surrender to you. Please, don't kill me." Do you think God will kill him? Anybody who surrenders, Sakradeva Prapannoyam, that verse, Charam Shloka says, if somebody surrenders to me, I will not kill. Imagine if Hiranyakashipu had that moment, one moment he had to surrender. He could have jumped off from the lap of Narasimha and caught hold of his feet and said, "Please forgive me. Whatever atrocities I did, you punish me for that, but don't kill me. Now, I just like Prahlad, I will become your devotee." If he said that, what do you think would have followed? Lord Narasimha would have spared his life. And just like, although Lord Narasimha is sitting ferociously there, father and son, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad would have sat together and sang Narasimha Arati. Namaste Narasimha. Am I correct now? Isn't it? But that didn't happen because Hiranyakashipu, even till last moment, he did not make the right choice. He made the wrong choice. So, Prahlad always made the right choice. And Bali was also tested to the limits. His guru was cursing him. Ministers were angry with him. Praja was weeping. His wife, Vindhyavali, she was also scolding him. She was telling, "My Lord, persons like my husband are claiming to be Swami or proprietor of this world. You are the real proprietor," she was telling. And he was bound by Varuna Parsh and thrown into a cave. So in this way, he was thoroughly humiliated and humbled. In fact, Bali says to Lord, "My dear Lord, even mother and father and brother sometimes punish their younger ones. But I don't consider their punishment to be so great. Why? Because they only know material well-being. But you have punished me for my supreme well-being, which means spiritual well-being. So those who punish somebody for spiritual well-being are million times greater well-wishers than somebody who is punishing somebody for material well-being. Therefore, you are my supreme lover and well-wisher. I surrender to you." Like that Bali said. So, when Lord saw Bali surrender, actually Bali, that last moment when the Lord was testing him, like this, binding him and everything, even Brahma cried. Brahma had tears. Brahma said, "My dear Lord, you are satisfied by some tulasi leaves and little Ganga jal. And this fellow has given you all the three lokas. He has given you the whole Brahmanda to you. Why are you still testing him even more? My heart is breaking to see this." Lord told Brahmaji, "This is the climax scene, the topmost scene. I want to test my devotee. Let me see how my devotee behaves now. You keep quiet for a while." And when Lord asked, "Hey Bali, you promised me for three steps. At the end of the day, you have only given me two steps. Where is the third step?" And then Bali said, "My dear Lord, I will never go back in my word. The Zamindar is always different from the Jamin, which he sells. Therefore, the Jamin is sold out, but Zamindar is here. I am still here. But I give my head to you. I have no independent existence. I declare that I am your servant henceforth. I do Atma Nivedanam. I offer everything, my body, my mind, my words, my very soul, my very existence is yours. For all time to come, you accept me as your servant." And when Lord saw this, the Lord's heart melted. And immediately Vamadeva kept his lotus feet on his head. And then Lord told him, "I will, you know, send you to the Bilaswarga, which is more opulent than the Indra's heaven also. And then in the next life, I will make you the Indra." Thirdly, the Lord said, "I will become your doorkeeper and stand at Bilaswarga. And every day I will see you. Because you are such a wonderful devotee of mine, you have given your everything to me. So I also give my heart to you." Lord is called Ajitam, but Ajitam becomes Parajitam. He becomes conquered by the love of the devotee. So in this way, Bali Maharaj followed the path of Prahlad, although born in a demoniac family. So dear devotees, all of us in our life, we have an animal within us, an angel within us. And we have both these things. What we are going to feed is going to grow stronger. Therefore, the divine and demoniac nature, 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna talks about both of them, Daivi Sampat, Asuri Sampat. So, let us feed our Daivi Sampat more and more, and always make Krishna the choice in our life and not Maya the choice. Although both of them present themselves, even Veda Vyas saw Krishna and Maya side by side, but he saw Maya and Satad Apashrayam. He saw Maya to be subordinate to Krishna. bhakti yoga namanasi samyak pranihite amale apashyan purusham purnam mayam chatadapashrayam. So he chose Krishna and he focused on Krishna and wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, we may see Maya and Krishna side by side, but let us choose Krishna like Bali Maharaj chose and make our life glorious. And we should make the choice moment after moment, because Krishna consciousness means moment after moment of making choice of Krishna in our lives. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.